Shadow Falls Badlands. The story so far. Galen pilots the wagon into a clearing, looking for help for the dying Maria. But what he finds is a cult-like encampment controlled by a hooded woman named Nana. Nana declares Maria to be a witch, and as Galen is imprisoned in a standing pillory, he is powerless to stop them as they burn Maria to death at the stake. Chapter 17. Cyril's head nodded forward. He'd been on the horse for nearly 12 hours straight, and time and again he jarred himself awake. It was obvious the nag was exhausted as well, but Cyril pushed the beast, not caring if he killed it in the process. He was so close he could feel it. It had been 4 days since he'd left the town of Sagebrush, the air so thick with the reek of death that each breath choked his lungs. Everywhere he looked, there were bodies, weeks dead, mostly picked clean, their sun-bleached bones laying in disarray where the scavengers had tossed them about. The bodies left inside were a different story, though. Using the heel of his boot, Cyril had kicked in the door to the town's one hotel. Through the haze of dust he'd stirred up, he found them, the family of four huddled in the corner of the small dining area. They had been spared the scavengers by virtue of the four walls that had become their tomb, but the maggots had descended on them in force. The wriggling white shroud covering them flowed across their bodies like liquid, crawling in and out of their mouths and eye sockets with gleeful abandon as they feasted upon what was left of the rotting corpses of the man, his wife, and two children still huddled in the fearful pose in which they'd been killed. Cyril could imagine their death, the wonderful moment in which the coyotes sent on their mission of vengeance had struck these folks down, tearing at their soft throats and pleading eyes. Cyril had wrapped a kerchief soaked in a mix of water and camphor around his face to keep out the heavy odor of death as he went to the jail where they had kept Galen, first as a condemned prisoner, and then later as a hanged man laying with a broken neck on the hard, dirt-packed floor. Inside, Cyril could feel Galen's presence in the room, but then stopped. He cocked his head. There was something else, the presence of someone. No, something that had been in the cell as well. He closed his eyes. There was no doubt of the existence of the second being Cyril felt in the room, because he could sense fear. Fear that could not have come from Galen due to the fact that there was no such self-awareness in Altos to warrant such an emotion. Whatever the second being had been, it had come in haste and left no more than a trace of its presence. Cyril squeezed his eyes tight and tried to get a closer bead on it. He stood silently in the still air, arms outstretched to the sides, palms facing upward, and willed it to happen, but could not get a clear image to coalesce in his mind. After several attempts, Cyril gave up and shut the cell door behind him as he left. There was indeed something different about him now. Before, he'd been as sensitive to such things as a dry sponge to water. But now he felt as if his ability had diminished since he left his post at Fort Jones. The incident there had left him. "Stop it!" he muttered to himself. The mere thought of it brought the memory of Cordite to his nostrils, and Cyril recoiled from it. "Get a fucking grip," he chided himself, but his hands were shaking. Once his work was done with Altos, he promised himself that those back in his old regiment would get the surprise of their lives when he returned. He now looked around the deserted town. It was this place, he thought, that was causing his temporary shift from control to a borderline insanity. This land was cursed. This town had been done a favor by its annihilation. That he was sure of. Back at the hotel, Cyril refilled his provisions, then went about setting the town aflame. With a torch in hand and several rag-stuffed bottles of whiskey liberated from one of Sagebrush's corpse-filled saloons, Cyril began the process of returning the town back to the earth. In less than 1 hour, the deed had been accomplished, and as Cyril stood outside the burning schoolhouse watching his work, he fell to his knees in front of the fire and felt the heat on his face. By nightfall, the dozen wood structures that had made up this small town were little more than embers that would in short time be swallowed up by the Texas sand. Cyril knew the direction Galen was headed. He could also sense how the horse he was riding was grateful to be leaving as well, given how much looser its gait had become since exiting the town's boundaries. The animal had been so tight, Cyril reckoned, he could have stuck a lump of coal up its ass and within moments pulled out a diamond. There was little doubt the ghosts of Sagebrush had lingered heavily in the Texas air, but Cyril knew better than to be afraid of such things. Ghosts, he knew, could not harm you, but only trick you into harming yourself. And there was little about the other world that frightened Cyril. He had given himself to the powers that he served. No, that wasn't quite right, he thought. He had been taken by the powers he served. There was nothing voluntary about it. He had been killed in the woods and his bones had been left to rot. He himself was a ghost by all manners of definition. But that's not true, he thought. He was real. He was flesh and blood. He was being followed. The trail out of town had been deserted. It had been only him, the horse, and dirt and rock for as far as the eye could see. But there now seemed to be something else, a feeling that the solitude was being broken by another being. The hairs on the back of Cyril's hand stood up. There was a sense of something lurking at the very edge of his vision, but when he turned back, there was only the empty trail behind him. His hunter's instinct was piqued. It was a feeling prickling the back of his neck, but he dared not look again so soon for fear of appearing aware of what it was that was watching him. Still as Cyril rode, he could feel a pair of eyes still on him, cold and dead, like slime on a pond. Whatever was following was getting closer, to the point where Cyril started to believe it was almost breathing down his back. Slowly he cocked his head, trying to catch any sound, only to find there was none whatsoever, save for his own breathing. Even the light breeze blew silently past. Ghosts, Cyril thought again, wisps of things unseen that dared not appear before him. The air everywhere you went was full of them, millennia's worth of spirits of the dead, hiding in walls and between dark shadows at night. This plane belonged to those who walked the ether between this world and the next, unaware of their own banishment. Cyril forced his eyes into a squint to see them, and like dust floating forgotten in the air, the countless dregs of the departed appeared in their indistinct forms as tricks of light or haze. Those just beyond the mortal world could do him no harm, and he was far past being haunted by them or any of the faces of those whose lives he had taken. He laid his grip on the butt of his gun, and even though a little voice inside his head warned him the steel pistol and lead slugs would prove as useless as tits on a bull, feeling it underneath the palm of his hand, was reassuring. And as he looked again, it hit him what he was now seeing. Footsteps. Fresh ones cut into the dirt between the deep ruts driven long ago into this dusty and obviously infrequently traveled corridor. Cyril blinked his eyes. Those tracks were not recent. Given the lack of traffic, it was still thinkable this particular road must have been used at some point. Rain would have erased the footprints, but as far as Cyril reckoned, it had been dry here for months. It was then that he noticed it. Suddenly, it seemed the horizon was further away than usual, as if it had been pushed back while he had been watching it. Must be the heat, he reckoned. He had been in the sun for weeks and knew how that kind of exposure took a toll on a man. He opened his canteen and tipped it to his mouth. During the war, he'd seen soldiers with heatstroke drop their weapons and run directly into the path of enemy gunfire, thinking themselves indestructible. Even up to the moment the bullets kissed their flesh and tore them to bloody ribbons. Even Galen, Cyril thought. On the night he'd accompanied him into Veracruz, Altos had gone on some murderous tear after spending too much time in the... But Cyril's thoughts stopped dead, for as he lowered his canteen, he saw more footsteps. Ones now in front of him coming in his direction. Not even a breath escaped him. He'd been certain they had not been there before. The trail ahead had been empty, Cyril thought. Though there they were, fresh and new in the dirt, stretching all the way down this narrow road for as far as the eye could see. But whomever had owned those boots was nowhere to be found. Cyril looked down. The prints went directly under those his horse was making. But as he gazed back toward the road behind him, he frowned. How could that be? He wondered, and stopped his horse. Getting down from his saddle, he knelt on the ground to see if his eyes had played tricks on him, but now he could see it clearly. The footsteps coming from behind him had been so new they laid on top of those just made by his horse, as if whomever had come down this road had doubled back, following him. And when Cyril felt the presence standing just behind him, he drew his pistol and sprang to his feet. Standing in front of him was a man with what appeared to be the remains of two badly burnt wings sticking out of his back. And from the stranger's mouth came the voice of a southern gentleman.
I don't suppose you would shoot someone without first hearing what they had to say to you.
The stranger grinned.
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot who I was talking to.
The man laughed in a near-mocking tone.
Who are you? Cyril asked. Why, someone with a bit of information you may find important.
I asked, who are you? Cyril demanded, but inside he could sense that part of that answer lay in his perception of the other presence that had obviously been inside the Sagebrush jail cell with Galen.
Well, if you must ask, my name is Gant. Briar Gant.
His mouth curled upward in a knowing grin.
And your name is Cyril. Though you've gone through quite a few last names, I reckon. Do not presume to know anything about...
Cyril started, but was cut off.
I know you were stationed at Fort Jones out there in the California Territory when a mysterious letter caused you to try and go AWOL from your post. And that a day later, you were captured by members of your own regiment who dragged you back to the commanding officer, the same captain who had you lined up against a wall and shot by a firing squad for being a deserter. Isn't that why you took so long to get to Kansas City? To the man that sent you that alarming letter in the first place? Cyril bristled at hearing his own story told back to him with such blunt detail. Briargant continued. Though waiting a couple of weeks wrapped in a shroud, buried in shallow ground out there, sure beats the heck out of laying around, rotting in the woods for more than 100 years, waiting to be needed. Now, don't it? He finished with a cackle. He reached out and pushed Cyril's gun aside, and as their hands briefly brushed against each other, Cyril saw the flash in his mind, an image of Briar helplessly plummeting from dizzying heights in the sky, his once majestic wings now aflame. You see, my boy, you and I seek the same thing, a closure that will bring an end to our interminable wait on this useless world, Briar said. But you killing Altos will get you exactly the opposite of that which you seek.
Cyril eyed the man before him, confused. His own senses were unsure whether he could trust Briar. But now they were telling him what he'd already been denying since his last encounter with Miles Lawton. Briar leaned in closer, carefully eyeing the area around them. He brought his voice down to nearly a whisper and began divulging a truth about Galen, which caused Cyril to realize that everything Miles had told him from the beginning had most certainly been a lie. And that was chapter 17, and the end of part 2. Of Shadow Falls Badlands. Questions, comments? Send me your feedback to shadowfalls@podshowla.com. Shadow boys and shadow girls, I want to hear from you. And remember to get all your friends to subscribe to Badlands. I bet you really want to know what Briar told Cyril. Well, you'll find out soon enough, faithful listener, when we reconvene for part 3 of Badlands. But until then, this is Mark Yoshimoto Nemkov, fading to black.
Wake up in a small town, just another day. Will I see the sun, the day's begun. Now I'm on my way. So many dusty roads have run down, searching for this place. Will I chase the miles, face the trials, no matter what it takes. Gotta try before I die. Gotta find the life I'm searching for, so I leave behind the things that make me feel so lost and blind. Never gave a damn. The anger boils, the gun recoils, spilling blood upon the land.